No, it's good. It's good. The Gemara in Brachas talks about the best, in the first perek, talks about the best time to be mispalel, to say trinas at night. So the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, that the nighttime is divided into three mishmaris. We don't know exactly what that means, that the malachim change mishmaris, like the soldiers change mishmaris in the army. And the first 4 hours of the night, the middle 4 hours of the night, last 4 hours, night is 12 hours. And when the mishmaris are mischalfois, then the Ribbono Shel Olam cries over the fact that he had to destroy his Beis HaMikdash and he had to send his children into Golus. And if we will daven, we will offer tchinas at that time. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is sobbing over the fact that he had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so we stand a better chance of having the tefillahs accepted. So that's why there were communities in Europe where they used to recite slichas at 10 o'clock. You have to say, you're supposed to say the slichas at night before Alois HaShachar. Not like by us. We start saying slichas in the yeshiva after 7 o'clock. It's already after zricha, after sunrise. You're supposed to say all the slichas before Alois HaShachar. You're supposed to finish before an hour and a half before the sunrise. So there were communities in Europe, they didn't have daylight saving time. So the shkia was approximately 6 and the zricha was approximately 6. So 4 hours after 6 was 10 o'clock. So 10 o'clock was the end of the first mishmar. So the Gemara says, when the mishmar is on mischalfa, the Ribbono Shel Olam is crying over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, so then it's a good time, we should daven also. Our minig is that we follow the Zohar. The Zohar says, the best time to daven, tikkun chatzos, it's based on the best time to daven is after chatzos. So that's why most have the minig. If you have daylight saving time, so that's supposed to be 10 o'clock, it should be 11 o'clock. But our minig is based on the Zohar, not based on the Gemara. The Zohar says the best time to offer tchinas is after chatzos. Then they have another consideration the Gemara has in the beginning of Brachas, that David HaMelech would go to sleep every night, he wouldn't sleep so much, and then at chatzos the wind would start to blow and his harp would start to play by itself because the wind was blowing in the harp, and then he would wake up and he would be reciting Tehillim. He could post Tehillim, he would recite Tehillim after Chatzos. So the Mukubalim say in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, that the Mukubalim say that it's not proper to say Tehillim at night before Chatzos. So not only the Trinas, not only the Tachnon, you shouldn't say before Chatzos, the Tehillim, the whole beginning part of the Slichas, they say you shouldn't say before Chatzos. In the Slichas, Yeshiva University was originally a combination of two different yeshivas. Yeshivas Rabbein Yitzchok Ochanan, that was established a few months, I think a year, after he passed away, within a year. Then the other yeshiva was Yeshivas Eitz Chaim. So Yeshivas Eitz Chaim, two little yeshivas on the east side. So Yeshivas Eitz Chaim was named after Valozhin. Valozhin Yeshiva was Eitz Chaim. So they have a lot of traditions that go back to Valozhin Yeshiva. Valozhin was founded by Rav Chaim Valozhin, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon in 1801 or something like that, and it was closed by the Russian government in 1891, something like that, for 90 years. Chaim Volozhin wasn't there for 90 years, but at the end, the two Rosh Yeshiva who were there were the Netziv. He was the Rosh Yeshiva for the last 39 years. That was a long time. And then the co-Rosh Yeshiva towards the end was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So there was a ganze machlokes. The government kept on restricting them how many hours they were allowed to learn Gemara. So they kept on insisting they have to have secular education and they can't learn too hard and you can't tax the students so much. So till it became like a joke that they can only learn 2-3 hours a day. So there was a big machlekes, should they close the yeshiva? So many rabbis said 2 hours a day is better than nothing. You should leave the yeshiva open, at least to learn 2 hours a day. And then it's Tziv and Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Chofetz Chaim, they were the minority, but they insisted that Dasan Ishken yeshiva, so they have to close it. So they closed it. It wasn't really closed by the Russian government. The Russian government was pressuring them to cut back on the learning and introduce more secular studies, so they decided that it's not worth it. So because yeshiva has a lot of traditions from Volozhin, so they have the following practice. They quote from Rav Chaim Volozhin, supposedly from the Vilna Gaon, that different parts of the slichas should not be said. So towards the end of the slichas, we have a paragraph that says, it sounds as if we're asking the angels, Machnisei HaRachamim, those who bring the prayers in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, please bring our prayers to the Rabban Shalom. So the Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner held that it's not proper to say that. You don't ask the angels for any assistance. We talk directly to the Rabban Shalom. We don't need anybody to help us. And there's a Mishnah in Brachas, and same Mishnah in Pirz and Megillah, same Mishnah in Tum Masechtas. The Mishnah has other parts of the Mishnah more famous. Oimer Shma Shma Mishaskin also. If a person says Shma Yisrael twice, so it sounds as if he believes in more than one God. There's a nigun that says Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you keep on saying it twice and three times, four times. That's what the Mishnah says. You're not allowed to say like that. It sounds as if you believe in more than one God. So if you believe in the Trinity, I'm more than three gods. So the Mishnah has Hamish Shma Shma Mishaskin also, and so on. So one of the other things that's mentioned in that Mishnah, less famous, is Ha'imei Baruch Hu Chatovim Mishaskim Oso. One who says, "Let the good people bless you," you tell me you're not allowed to say that. What is the Pirush Amilus? So I think the Meiri on that Mishnah Megillah collects after six different Pirushim. So one of Rashi has another pshat. Rashi I think learns Ha'imei Baruch Hu Chatovim. Only the people who ate kidei sviya of a meal should recite Birchas Hamazon. Yivarchu cha, they should bless the Rabbeinu Shalom, they should say Birchas Hamazon, the Toivim. The people who ate v'achalta v'savata, but whoever didn't eat kidei sviya should not bench. So Mishaskin also, that's only on the level of the Raisa, that's true. But with the Rabbana, if you just ate a kazayis of bread, you mechuyif to bench with the Rabbana. So that's how Rashi learns. And Miri quotes another five pirushim. So one of the five perushim is Ha'imei Baruch Hu Chatovim. Now he says to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, only the Tovim should bless you. That's another pshat. Only tzaddikim should praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Rishoyim have no right to daven, have no right to say hello, have no right to praise God. So that's also Mishaskin also. The Rishoyim should also praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Then there are another four pshatim in the Rishoyim. So one of the other pshatim that Miri quotes is Ha'imei Baruch Hu Chatovim, the angels should give you a blessing. Mishaskin also, that's not proper. You shouldn't ask the angels for any blessings at all. So they quote the Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner on Friday night when he said Shalom Aleichem. So he left that stanza, Bachuni L'Shalom. Huh? Yeah. So you should. So that's what Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner felt. You shouldn't ask the Malachi Hashoris for any blessings. So he felt that you shouldn't say Machnisa Harachmim either. In the Tshuvas of the Chasam Seif, he also writes like that. That we say Machnisei Rachmim towards the end of the Slichas. Usually the Chazan is going so fast he can't say everything anyway. So the Chasam Seif used to skip those paragraphs in order to catch up with everybody else. No one knew everybody had to skip something anyway, because you can't say so quickly. So he always left that out because there are tainus against it. Others defend it. They quote Rashi and Sanhedrin. And other Rishonim say that there's nothing wrong for asking the angels to help you out. The angels should pray for you. But that's where Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner had the tradition for Nevuah Negron. So he left out Bachuni L'Sholem on Friday night, and he left out the Machnisei HaRachmim. Others say Machnisei HaRachmim, the Tzibur is giving instructions to the Chazanim, to the Shliach Tzibur. Machnisei Rabim, Shluchei Tzibur, daven well for us. We don't ask the angels to present our tefillahs, we're asking the Chazanim, the Shluchei Tzibur, that they should daven well. But that was the... So in the yeshiva, they leave out that section. They quote also Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Soloveitchik also used to leave this out, Beshita. He followed usually all the minhagim from Volozhiner, from the Vilna Gaon. So one of the in one of the slichas, you say, Midas HaRachmim, we speak to the Midas HaRachmim as if it's a power other than the Rabbanu Shalom. Midas HaRachmim, get to Rabbanu Shalom to have Rachmanis on us. What do you mean? You're talking to the Midas HaRachmim? That's like talking to the angels. They should have an influence on the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So Rav Soloveitchik used to be Magia. He changed the whole piyut. Instead of speaking Midas HaRachmim, get the Rabbanu Shel Olam to have Rachmanis on us, he would say, Galgal Alecha Midas Rachamecha. We speak to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, he should have Rachmanis on us. And they quote Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, and just left it out. He shouldn't say that to Parish. He leave out that stanza. He say the others. Yeah. We have a tradition that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, that says in the Mishnah. So the Ramban, you know, had a famous debate with the Meshumet in Spain. The Ramban won the debate, but he lost. He had to disappear from Spain because the church was out to get him. So he snuck out and he went to Eretz Yisrael at that time. So he came there, he's davening in the Beis HaKnesses of Ramban, in the Yeratika in the Rova. That's why it's called the Beis Nesar Rabban, because they claim the Ramban davened on that location. And he gave a drasha on Rosh Hashanah. It must have been 5-6 hours long. And then he wrote up the whole shiur that he gave. He has halacha, he has hashkafa, he goes to all the inyanim of Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that have to do with the Yontem Rosh Hashanah. So one of the first things that he brings up is, where did the Tanoim get this idea from? It doesn't say in Tanakh anywhere that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Where did they get this idea from? So he says, no, it was an oral tradition from the days of Adam Arishan. Because according to the Midrashim, both the Gemara and the Pirkei der Blezer, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Adam Arishan was created on the sixth day of creation, that says in Chumash. What do you mean by Rosh Hashanah Nivra Ha'olam? Which day of creation was it? So the tradition has it, Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day of creation, and the beginning, the first day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis, was really Chafei Elo. So there were 5 days, the end of Elo, and then was Rosh Hashanah Adam Arishan was created. He was instructed by the Ribbono Shel Olam not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he violated the Issa the same day. He couldn't even control himself for one day. The Nochash got him to sin. Got on him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He was judged on the same day, and he was punished in the Shteistan of Gan Eden. That's according to the tradition. The Gemara says every hour, but what happened every hour? He couldn't even hold out to restrain himself from eating from the Eitz Hadas for 5 hours. I think he only waited 2 hours. After 2-3 hours, he already violated the Issur Eitz Hadas. So Adam Arishan was told at that time, that's in the Ramban, so Adam Arishan was told at that time, just like I judged you today on Aleph Tishrei, so too throughout all the future generations, I will judge all of your descendants. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, not only for Bnei Yisrael. It's the Yom HaDin, Al HaMadin is Bo Yom, Ezel Acher, Ezel Ro. It's on all of mankind. It's judged on Rosh Hashanah. So this was an oral tradition. That's what the Rambam said. This was an oral tradition from the days of Adam Arishan that he told all of his descendants. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a Machlokes HaGaonim. The Shagas Aryeh points out this seems to be a machlokes hakanim. Is there a mitzvah of simcha? In the Chumash it says samachta b'chagecha and parshas re'eh only on Sukkot, but we assume there's a hekesh. Hukshu kol ha'me'atis ha'dodi, Pesach Shavuos have the same din as Sukkot because it's all mentioned together in one pasuk. Hekesh means if you have two dinim mentioned in the same pasuk. So we have more than one pasuk where you have chag ha'matzot, chag Shavuos, v'chag ha'Sukkot mentioned in the same pasuk. So it's a hekesh, just like on chag ha'Sukkot. It says Samachta Bechagecha. So on the other regalim also. Question is, what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is there a mitzvah of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Shagas Aryeh quotes, it seems to be a machlokes that the Rosh quotes in the Rosh in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Petitno al Hashem Kenim Adam Simcha Chagav Zman Mevasosot. That's the nusach that we say on Sholosh Regalim. You say that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. So we rather don't say. So the Rosh quotes that there were Rishayim and Goyim who did say that. So the Shagas Aryeh says that seems to be the machlokes whether there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not. Rav Soloveitchik always used to discuss this topic, is there a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So he always went the same route. Simcha is a type that is asri with Avelus. So what's the din if someone is in the middle of Shiva and it comes Yantav? So Yantav cancels Shiva. Someone's middle of Shloshim and it comes Yantav, Yantav cancels Shloshim. So what's the din Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is it Kirigolim that it also cancels Shiva, Shloshim, or not? So it's a Mishnah in Moikot, Machlokes HaTanaim. So he said that's the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has a Chiyuv Simcha or not. If there is a Chiyuv Simcha, so Simcha and Abelis is tarted as Asri, so it's going to cancel the Abelis. How do we paskin lahaloche? So we paskin we paskin whenever there's any machlokes, even if mikra din, we don't hold like that. But when it comes to suffik, any suffik in Hilchos Avelus, you always go the kula. So that does really prove too much the fact that we hold lahaloche that Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva and Yom Kippur cancels Shloshim. Well, let's say a person dies in between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur cancels Shiva and Sukkot cancels Shloshim. Because Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, so because each one is a yontif, the Chiyuv Simcha, it cancels whatever Avelis you're in the middle of. So the fact that we paskin that it cancels Avelis could be that we say Halacha Gedev Amekel Ba'avel, but does it really prove that we hold that there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? So not necessarily. So there's another Gemara in Erevin. The Rav only used to say the Mishnah, and that's the Halacha. The Mishnah is that we paskin Halacha Rosh Hashanah and Kippur cancel Avelis, so that shows that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. and others used to dingzach with the Rav. How can you, it doesn't prove it conclusively. Maybe it's because halacha devar nekel ba'avol. Maybe there really is. Maybe we should pass halacha there's no chiyuv simcha, but because there is such a shita, so you go to kula. So the perhaps a better hechacha perhaps would be the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the base. The Gemara has a shayla on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. We recite Shehachyanu when we say Kiddush. We say Shehachyanu on the Yontif. What about on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do you say Shehachyanu? So the Gemara asked the shayla, what did you do last year? What, the Jewish people just came into existence? We're asking a shayla. The Amoraim are discussing what did you do last year. The Gemara says no, that it's a rishus, that it's an optional bracha that you have the right to say Shehachyanu, that for sure. Because when you see a pri chadosh or a begat chadosh, you say Shehachyanu, that's a rishus. You're permitted to say Shehachyanu, not mechuyev to say, when you say pri chadosh, so that it's a rishus to say Shehachyanu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that we know for sure. Because Harai last year and the year before, I asked my grandparents, my great grandparents, everybody always did say Shehachyanu. The Gemara is asking, are you mechuyev to say Shehachyanu? Is it only rishus or is it a chayva? So on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, it's a chayva. Is it a chayva Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Gemara come to the conclusion, yes, it is a chayva. What's the nekudas hasofek? Whether Shehachyanu is a chayva or it's only a rishus? So some of the Rishonim say on that Gemara, that's the dion. You only say Shehachyanu when there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So that was the shayla in the Gemara. Do we pass on that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? There's a chayv simcha or not? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, that you do say Shehachyanu, that there is a chayv simcha. How many other brachas are there that are rishus? It's rare. Many have the practice that when you see a person you're excited to see, you haven't seen him in a year. So we don't say the bracha mechaya mesim. And you don't say shachyona when you see a person you haven't seen in 30 days and so on. So many have the practice. There are more rites in Shulchan Aruch. Many are mezalzal on these brachas because they assume it's all rishus. So the later poskim say, who said everything in that section of Shulchan Aruch is rishus? Shehachyanu on the fruits, on the new fruits, that's rishus. All the others are chayva. They don't think the only one and only bracha, that's a rishus. Shehachyanu on the pri chodesh, that's all. So so we really assume that there is a chiv simcha Rosh Hashanah. So that's why there's the Rosh quotes, there was a machlekes in the days of the Gaonim, in the days of the Rishonim. Is it permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? It's a mitzvah to fast. What about Rosh Hashanah? So if there's a chiyuv simcha, so the way to express simcha is simcha b'basar v'yayin, supposed to eat a meal, supposed to eat a delicious meal. So some say it depends on the shayla, is a chiyuv simcha, and others say not necessarily. That the Rambam has a lashon, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't say halach. And the Ramban interprets the whole sugya ne'erach and daf yud on the base, that halal is an expression of simchas yontif. Whenever there's a mitzvah of simcha, so not only should you have simchas haguf, you should have simchas hanefesh. You should recite halal to the Rabban Shalom. So the Gemara asks, how come you don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Assuming that there's a chi of simcha. Gemara says no, because if you're chayim sifrei meisim psuchim alafanov, so it's not a reasonable time to say halal. So the Rambam quotes that Gemara. He says, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, not yimei simcha yiseira. Means that there is a chi of simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but it's not that kind of simcha. It's a toned down simcha. So it could be that there is a chi of simcha in Rosh Hashanah to be in a happy mood, but still you're permitted to fast. It could be it's not yimei simcha yiseira. So just like you don't recite halal, maybe there's no chi of to have a suda. So the ma'aseh, that's a machloikus. Are you permitted to fast? And Shulchan Aruch we paskin, you're not supposed to fast. Some held you're allowed to fast even on Shabbos Shuvah, not only on Rosh Hashanah. Some held even on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias b'Shabbos. That was the further machlekes. Maybe Rosh Hashanah Shecholias b'Chol, you're allowed to fast. Rosh Hashanah Shecholias b'Shabbos, mitam Shabbos, you shouldn't be allowed to fast. So there are different opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. So we paskin la'alocha that you're not supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. But because there was such a legitimate opinion, that's why in Shulchan Aruch they say that usually on Shabbos and Yontif you have to be careful to recite Kiddush before Chatzos. Because even though you weren't mekabel tainus, but if lemaisa you don't eat until after chatzos, don't say tashtikel tainus. That's a miktsas tainus. That's not right. That's what they quote from the Balei HaTosfos. So that's on a regular Shabbos and Yontif. You have to try to see to it that you begin eating before chatzos. On Rosh Hashanah, we daven until 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon in the yeshivas. They daven very slowly and they daven very long, and a lot of times they don't have any kiddush before. It's not really right to have a kiddush before the kiddush shofar. You're not supposed to eat before. So you're fasting till after chatzai. So some people will drink a cup of water before they go to shul in the morning, so they're not fasting. And others say, no, and Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to worry about that. That since there was an opinion in the days of the Goyim that you're permitted, and perhaps even a mitzvah to fast, recommended to fast on Rosh Hashanah, even though we don't pass like that, but at Kedei Kach, we're not machmer. You're permitted to fast till after chatzos, as long as you eat something later. So then some of the later poskim say, what if a person benches on Rosh Hashanah and he forgot to say Yalla V'Yovai? So you only have to repeat the benching if he forgot, let's say, forgot Yalla V'Yovai, if it's a day that you're mechuyev to have a suda. If you weren't, let's say, Shalashudas. If Tosis has one opinion, you could have fulfilled Shalashudas with mini tagima, without washing, without benching. You could have had the potatoes or gefilte fish or something. So even if you did wash and you did bench and you forgot Ritzei, since you could have there was an opinion you can fulfill Shalashudas without benching, so you wouldn't have said Ritzei, so you don't have to bench over again. So that's what a lot of poskim say over here on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. Since there is such an opinion, we really don't accept that opinion. But since there was such an opinion that you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so even though we don't follow that view, we do eat. But if you bench and if you got the alavi avay, b'yom hazikaron hazeh, you don't tell me ask to bench over again. Because b'dieved, you rely on the poskim who hold, on those goyim who hold, that you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So then the later poskim say, b'medvar ma'murim, when they say, if you forget Yalav Yavai and benching, you don't have to bench over again, that's Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. Because Rosh Hashanah, the Mishpat is only Bayom. That's what they assume. The Mishpat, the Rebbe Shalom judges the people and judges the nations and judges the whole world. The Mishpat is only Bayom. Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's no Mishpat. The whole idea that you should be permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, is the day on which there's going to be a Mishpat. But Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's no Mishpat. So Leil Rosh Hashanah, even the Goyim who recommended fasting, they wouldn't say you should fast on Leil Rosh Hashanah. So Leil Yontav, Leil Rosh Hashanah, for sure, you are mechuyev to have a suda. One forgot Yalav Yavin the benching, then he would have to bench over again. But by Yom, in the daytime of Rosh Hashanah, if one forgot Yalav Yavin, so then the poskim amekel that he shouldn't have to bench over again.
Many people don't go to sleep during the din Rosh Hashanah because the din is bayom. Is it the whole day, or is it just in the morning?
They quote from the Arizal that after chatzos the mishpat has already taken place, and others disagree. I remember Rav Soloveitchik was so exhausted on Rosh Hashanah. He used to stand all the time. He used to stand till he was very, very old. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, when everybody makes Hataras and Dorim, and you say what's printed in the Siddur, Shimon HaRabbos, Dayanim Umchim, he didn't say that. He just used to say in English, I have a minik toiv that I stand for Chazaras HaShatz, that I stand for Kriyas HaTorah. I don't have Charata for the minik toiv. I have Charata that I should have said B'li Neder. So every Erev Rosh Hashanah, he would be Mate the minik toiv that he stands, and then he would continue to stand till his mamish, very, very old, the mamish wasn't physically able to. So I remember once on Rosh Hashanah, he invited me to eat by him. So at the end of the meal, his wife said he should go take a nap. He's so exhausted. He says, no, Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to go to sleep all day long. He fell asleep at the table, sitting just like this. like Tuch de Diver, after he said that. He fell asleep at the table. So there were other people there. We tiptoed away and we went up. He was exhausted, yeah. On Leil Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara has a very interesting minig that you have an apple dipped in honey and you have all kinds of things that are simon. What kind of magic is that? It sounds like a nichush lois a nachashu. You're not allowed to do things like that. So the Gemara says it's not a violation of nichush. If you do it the simon toiv, it's permissible. What does that mean, the simon toiv? Why is it permissible? So the Nesivus explains in his Sefer, Nesivus was a rabbi in a community, so he used to give sermons. So he published a collection of his drushes on Chumash and on the Yom Tovim and Hespedim. It's called Nachlas Yaakov. Many of the Gedolim used to say over things from the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov. It was reprinted many times. So he gives the following suggestion. He thinks that the Iker of the Simonim is the Yehiratzen that you say. You offer a tefillah. So what do you need the simon for? You're offering a tefillah. So he suggests, maybe what the Gemara means to say is the following. There's a Ramban in his commentary on Chumash, where he says, you look in the Sifrei HaNaviim, so sometimes the Navi is given a nevuah, a prophecy, what to expect in the future. And sometimes he's told to act out to something in pantomime. He should do something, and this is symbolic of what's going to be in the future. So the Ramban coins an expression that's called the Poyel Dimyon. He's told to act something out, and that's what's going to be in the future. So he says there are two levels of Nevuah. There's a Nevuah where he's told what's going to be in the future. So if that's a Nevuah L'Ra, the Gemara says it's understood that it's Havat Tanai. But if it's a Nevuah, it's a Poyel Dimyon, then it's considered a stronger Nevuah because he acted it out. It's like a Maisa. So that's Mechazik the Nevuah. Even if it's a Nevuah L'Ra, it cannot be Havat Tanai. So the Nesiva suggests maybe that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara increases says, even though you're not allowed to do nichush, but a simen you're allowed to do. So if the ikar of the simen really is when you dip the apple in the honey, the chal in the honey, the ikar is the hirasam of anecha, the tefillah. But if you act it out by eating something sweet, or by eating carrots, or whatever it is that you're going to, whatever language you speak, and whatever simen that you have, so if you act out a poel dimyon, maybe that's mechazik the tefillah, so it's considered a stronger form of tefillah. Many people have the practice that they'll say Hamotzi lech min ha'aretz, then they'll dip the challah in honey, then the yiratzin the chadash lech min shalom tovim mesukah before they eat the piece of challah. So many of the poskim say that that's not proper. That's a hepsik. You're not supposed to be mafsik in between the broch of hamotzi and eating it. If you want to dip in a honey, okay, that's like dipping and putting on salt or something. But my wife bakes her own challahs. So her challahs are delicious. They taste like cake. So if you put salt on, I always say it's an insult to my wife. The Gemara says if the challahs taste delicious, you don't have to put any salt. It says in Shulchan Aruch that on Pesach you don't put salt on the matzahs because the matzahs taste delicious. So I never put any salt on the challah that my wife makes. If we buy bread in the store, I'll put salt on. But my wife's challahs, I don't put salt on. Taisa says if the challah tastes delicious, you don't have to put salt on the challah, but you should have salt on the table. What do you need salt on the table? So Taisa says because you're not allowed to talk in between the Tivus Yadayim and Hamoitzi, so there's a bitl Torah there, so you need a kapara for the bitl Torah. So there's a pasuk of Chumash that salt has a bris melech olam. So somehow, I don't know, hey, hot's clouds bite them, so what does it have to do with anything? How does it join together? Taisa somehow assumes that having the salt on the table will represent some kind of a kapara over the fact that we did bitl Torah. But you don't have to put the salt on the challah. If the challah is delicious, you don't need any salt.
Have anything to do with the idea that kaponas will always put an alach on the kaponas?
Right, that's another idea that the Mefarshim say. The Gemara just says you put salt, that it should be tasty. So if the challah tastes delicious, so you don't need. And then later in Achrayim, I think it says, the Gemara says, "Bizman shabes mikdush ayikayim, the mizbeach is mechaper. Bizman azeh shulchan shaladam is mechaper." What do you mean, shulchan shaladam? So Rashi says, if you invite orchem and you fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, so then that's mechaper. So since the shulchan shaladam is like a mizbeach, doesn't really say that. It says, "Bizman shabes mikdush ayikayim, the mizbeach is mechaper. Bizman azeh shulchan shaladam is mechaper." So it sounds like the shulchan is like a mizbeach. And what they put on the mizbech, they used to put salt on. So the meaning is that you put salt on the challahs.
You have to tell them salt the Shabbos either.
Uh huh. Okay.
I mean, a lighter boy is going to salt on Shabbos.
All day long Shabbos. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think by the Soloveitchik family.
Because the challah, maybe because
it tastes delicious.
Maybe, but you
said. Uh huh. I think the Soloveitchik family had the following meaning: they wouldn't put salt Friday night.
Right.
Why? Because Evarim shalchol karbonis from erev Shabbos. You don't shecht any karbonis leil Shabbos. Karbonis that you shechted on Friday, you're not allowed to be maktir. It's a malacha to burn something.
Right.
It's a malacha to throw paper in the fire. It's a malacha to throw flesh into the fire that should get consumed and turn into ashes. That's a malacha of havara. Havara is not only to strike a match. Havara is you throw a piece of flesh in that it burns till it turns into ashes. It's also a malacha of havara. So you're allowed to do Havara on Shabbos on a korban that was offered on Shabbos. But Chel Bechol, I'm not craving the Shabbos. So Leil Shabbos, they were never makrev any chalovim on the Mizbeach. So if the whole idea of putting salt on the challah, even though it tastes delicious, the whole idea of putting salt on is because on the Mizbeach they would do it. So then Friday night and Leil Yontif, you're not makrev anything. But on Shabbos in the morning, they will put salt on the challahs. Because the karbonis that they bring on Shabbos, they did salt. Yeah. But Friday night, there were no karbonas brought on the Mizbeach. Yeah.
It doesn't say Shochan Bapoker is Makaber. Shochan all day long is Makaber. At night, too. If it's double the carbonos,
yeah, so that's the other 6 days of the week. But Leil Shabbos, because in the Beis HaMikdash they were never makter any chalovim on the Mizbeach, Leil Shabbos, Leil Matzoi Shabbos, they did makter the chalovim of Shabbos. Chalvi Shabbos are craving mechol. Chalvi chol are not craving b'Shabbos. So that was their minik. Then on Friday night, the winner, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's minik, he probably saw by his father that they wouldn't salt the chalos on Friday night. The Mishnah Berurah writes that there's a din that never comes up, only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur comes up once in a while. The din in the Mishnah, if the Chazan is in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, and then he loses his voice, or he faints, and he can't continue, so you have to get another Chazan to take over. So where does he start from? So if the Chazan is in the middle of Shema Kaleinu, is in the middle of Olam HaShinim, in the middle of Baruch Aleinu, so the new Chazan shouldn't pick up from the spot where the old Chazan left off. He's maschal mitchilos habracha shetozeh. He goes back to the beginning of the bracha. But what if the old chazan got stuck before he said hamelach hakodesh? Because we say so many piyutim. So gimel rishonis is treated as one unit. A gimel achronis from ritzei till the end of the Shema Nesri is treated as one unit. So if the chazan, if the first shnach tzibur faints or loses his voice in the middle of gimel rishonis, the new chazan has to go back to the beginning of the Shema Nesri. So the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't have to repeat all the piyutim. The piyutim we were yotzei the first time that we said. The only piyutim that he does repeat are those that sound as if they're part of the Shema Nesrei, like Zachein Alachaim Alachavitz B'chaim Kaseim B'seif Achaim Micham Moicha Avarachim and so on. That's really a piyut. That's not part of the text of the Shema Nesrei. That wasn't introduced by the Chachmei HaGemara. That was introduced by Zman HaGoinim. That's also a piyut. If you leave out of chen tein pachtucha, you're yotze the Shmoneh Esrei. So these are just piyut, but it looks as if it's part of the nusach of the Shmoneh Esrei. So when the Uchazan takes over, he has to start from the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, because the Gimel Rishonis is treated as one unit. He doesn't have to repeat the piyutim, but those piyutim that sound like they're part of the nusach hatfila, chen tein pachtucha and zechen alachem, that he should repeat. So the Mishnah Berurah says usually this issue comes up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because the davening is so long, it takes an hour till the chazan gets to Hakel HaKadosh, and he's saying so much. So it's gemalt that he will lose his voice every other year. We hear about a story in one of the shuls in the New York area where the chazan got stuck before Melech HaKadosh, and the new chazan had to start all over again from the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. There is a special din. According to Rashi, it sounds like it's a din deraisa, and many others disagree. It's a din derabbanan. You should hear the tkiyas. I'll say the habrochas at the end of Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars. The Gemara says if a yochid is davening at home, he doesn't have a minion, even though he's at Baal Tekeir, he has a Baal Tekeir there. You should not blow in the middle of the tefillah sayochid, tefillah balachash. But in shul, when you daven mitzibur, so then you should have tkiyas shofar. I'll say to our brachas, the different minhagim, whether you only do it in the Chazaras HaShatz or even in the Tefillah Balachash. Rav Soloveitchik's practice was, he said his grandfather Rav Chaim used to follow like that opinion, that you should even have the Tefillahs, you should only have the Tekiyas at the end, the Malchus Chayin HaShofes, in the Tefillah Balachash, because you're davening the Tzibur. Not only in the Chazaras HaShatz, even in the Tefillah Balachash, when everybody's davening Tefillah Sayachid, but you're davening the Tzibur, so you should also have Tekiyas. By some Chassidus Rebbes, the rabbi would be the makri. He would call out the kiyah in the middle of the Shtilah Shema. He'd call out to the ma. It's usually assumed that that's not proper. That's a hepsik. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't call out, but if the Baal Tekeir made a mistake, then he would start waving if he wants him to go back to start all over again from the first kiyah, or he can continue weiter. But he wouldn't be makri in the middle. But this Techemet quotes that there were communities in Europe where they felt it's so important to have a Baal Makri that you Makri even in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash.
The Tzarach HaTefillah? I mean, we wouldn't consider that Tzarach HaTefillah?
Apparently. So it's very strange. What is it all about? What is the idea of Makri all about? So in order to fulfill, Rav Soloveitchik used to say every year, in order to fulfill this According to Rashi, it's a din d'oraisa. According to the others, it's only a din d'rabbanan. You have kiyus al seder abrachas. In order to fulfill this added kiyum, so Rav Soloveitchik used to say, you have to listen to the chazaras hashatz from the beginning to the end. That's how a guy usually davens very slowly. And he's not going to finish his tefillah belach till the chazan is going to be up to kedusha already. So fine, he's going to answer kedusha, but he's going to miss the whole takon of kiyus al seder abrachas. So if you're davening in a shul where you know they're not going to wait so long, most of the shuls, they don't wait so long. So a person who usually davens longer should leave out all the kindness of the shanim mirah. Should leave out of the chentein pachtach. Should leave out zechvein alachai malachav zechvein. Leave out everything that's a piyut in order to finish the whole shman esrei before the chazan starts the whole chazaras hashatz. Because if you're going to still be davening when the chazan begins, you didn't hear the whole chazaras hashatz from the beginning to the end. So then you're not yotze this din. According to Rashi, a din deraisa. According to others, a takana derabbanan. To hear the tkiyas, I'll say the habrochas. The Chazon Ish writes also like that in his Sefer on Arachaim. He starts off like that, that he thinks you have to hear the chazaras hashatz from the beginning to the end, and then he backs out in the middle. He says, maybe it's enough if you heard Malchus Ohen Sherfis from the beginning to the end. Maybe you don't have to hear the Gimel Rishonis with the Gimel Achrinus. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the way he started off, the way the Chazon Ish started off the essay, was more mistabit to him. He thought you have to hear the whole chazaras hashatz from the beginning to the end. On the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a big machlokes. The Rosh quotes this, a machlokes in Rosh Hashanah, whether you say Shehechiyonu or not. On the second night of Pesach, second night of Shavuot, second night of Sukkot, of Leil Simchas Torah, we do say Shehechiyonu. Why? Because the whole observance of 2 days Yontif is based on the Sveika Diyon. So it's a suffix. Maybe yesterday was Erev Yontif, maybe today is Yontif. By us, there isn't really any suffix. They already established the calendar during the lifetime of Rabbi Verova. Their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, they lived in Bavel. So in Bavel, they didn't have the ability to make Kiddush HaChodesh. They have to have Bezin Smuchin. But their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael still had Smicha at that time. So they still used to be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh Al Pi Ariya. Until the days of Abai Barava, that's when Hillel HaShani established the Luach like we have it today. So the Gemara says, at that time, you know 100 years in advance which day of the week, you know, when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, when Pesach is going to be. So there's no longer any Sveik of the Yoma. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, even though Bezman said there's no longer a Sveik of the Yoma, they sent a letter, Shochem Itam, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. They made a takon, you should still observe Yontem Sheni Shel Golis, the same way they always used to observe. So they always used to observe it B'Torah Sveik of the Yoma, either today or yesterday, a suffix. So if maybe yesterday was Erev Yontem, today's Yontem, so that I wasn't Yotze with the Shachyana that I said yesterday. So you have to say Shachyana today. Usually the Gemara says when I have a Safek Brachas, you go Lahakel. And this is the one exception to the rule. The Safek Brachas is not Lahakel. Even though it's only a Sveik of the Yoma, Safek Brachas is Lahachma. Why is that? So the Gemara says, Abai says, and it's a Machlokes Abai V'Rava. Usually we follow Rava, and the Rambam passes over here like Abai. The other Gemara seem to indicate that we pass like Abai here. That Kehech Delol Zalzuli, we have to say a bracha on the Yontem Sheni Shel Golis. You have to say Kiddush. You have to say a bracha al achilas matz, al achilas marar, and so on. You say Shachyanu. You say all the brachas, because if we're going to leave out the brachas, it's going to be a dead giveaway. It's only a sveik of the yoma. So a lot of people will be mezalzal. They won't observe Yontem Sheni. So the Gemara says special takana Kehech Delol Zalzuli bay. You have to say a bracha even though it's a suffix. So the shaila is, but Rosh Hashanah is a yom arichta. So it's not a suffix, maybe. It never was a suffix, maybe. Maybe the first day of Rosh Hashanah was Erev Rosh Hashanah, the second day is Rosh Hashanah. But it's a yom arichta. So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. When you say the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is different from every other yontif. Every other yontif, it's either the first day or the second day. Say, it's not one Kedusha Sayyim for 48 hours. I want to make the first day Pesach, I want to go, there's going to be a good chazan in that village, a rabbi giving a shiur in that village. Second day Pesach, there's going to be a rabbi giving a shiur in that village. So I want to make an Erev Etchumen for the first day and a separate Erev Etchumen for the second day. So that's acceptable. You can't have two Erev Etchumens for the same day. You can't make an Erev Etchumen the morning of Yontov, I want to go that direction. The afternoon of Yontov, I want to go this direction. For the whole duration of Yontov, the whole duration of Shabbos, you have to have one Mokum. You can't have two mekaylis. So 2 days yontev is a sfeika diyomer, either today or yesterday. It's not that they're both one yom kodesh. So the Gemara says you can have erev etchumen for the first day separate, erev etchumen for the second day separate. The Shaz, what about Rosh Hashanah? You say Rosh Hashanah is yom arichtom. That's ben lahakol ben lahachmir. But he say no, it's only yom arichtom lahachmir. But lahachmir you have to treat it. Maybe it is a sfeika diyomer. So that's the big machlokes harishanim that the Rosh quotes. When we say that, let's say you made an erev etchumen for the first day Rosh Hashanah to go in this direction, and the erev etchumen was eaten up on the first day Rosh Hashanah, is it still good for the second day Rosh Hashanah? Because mamish yom arichta bein lahakol bein lahachmer, you made an erev etchumen and it's one kedushas hayom for 48 hours. So that erev etchumen that was eaten up on the first day is still good for the second day. Or you say no, it's a yom arichta lahachmer, but not, you can't make a separate erev etchumen the first day, the second day. Maybe it's yom arichta, but you don't say yom arichta lahakel if the erev etchumen is eaten up on the first day. So then you're not allowed to go chutz letchum for the second day. Maybe the second day is a sveka de yom.
In Eretz Yisrael, they have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, right?
That is the practice now. For many centuries, the practice was only had 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Then when Talmidei HaRif moved to Eretz Yisrael, they changed the minig based on the Rif. The Rif, who didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, the Rif lived in Fez in Morocco. That's why he's called Rabbeinu Yitzchak Al-Fazi, because he lived in Fez. First he lived in Fez, then he moved to Spain. He ran away and moved to Spain. So he never lived in Eretz Yisrael. But he interprets the Gemara in the first Perek in Beitza that even in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So the Rishonim say there, until the Talmidei HaRif moved to Eretz Yisrael, the practice always was they only observe 1 day Yontif. And they changed the minig. They instituted you have to have 2 days Yontif even in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
So according to that opinion, should we have 3 days? Maybe it's first and second, maybe it's second and third?
No. No. Hashem is only 1 day. Hashem is only 1 day. Yeah.
Were there other Rishonim who looked at Gemara as only 1 day in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, yeah. The Gaonim read the Gemara differently. There's only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
So how could the Rif go away
like the Goyim? He read the Gemara. There are a lot of things from the Goyim. The Goyim was so much closer to the Amoraim. We would have thought that we should follow everything that they say. There are many things that the Goyim say we just ignore. We follow Rashi and Taisvus. We're not so close to the Amoraim. The Minig in the days of the Goyim, that's what they call Minig B'shtei Yeshivas. The two Yeshivas, I think, are Sur and Ardor, if I'm not mistaken. So the minig b'shtei yeshivas was
that was before the Gainim.
Before the Gainim.
That was before Sur and Ardor.
Okay, and then in the days of the Gainim, they also called the minig b'shtei yeshivas was that after Malchias and the Chazaras Hashah, after Malchias, the Baal Tekeh blows Tashrat. After Zichronis he blows Tashat, and after Shofar he blows Tarat. So they all ask, it doesn't make any sense. Why do we blow Shvarim Chua and Shvarim and Chua? Because we're not sure which is the correct one. So the practice that we do contradicts itself. If the correct key is Tashrat, so you should have blown that for Zichronis and for Shofar also. If the correct sound is Tarat, so you should blow all three times. Aptela. So that was the minig. That was the minig for years and years and years. And then the Rishonim did away with it. They don't follow that anymore. And Broyers, they still do like that. They still follow the minig, which they yeshivas, the minig from the days of the Gaonim. But the rest of the world disagree. They just rejected what the practice that the Gaonim had. Yeah. We have a minig that whenever they open up the Aron Kodesh, we always stand up. Strictly speaking, Gemara says, but they say the tokum, you have to stand up when a Talmid Chacham comes in. So the Gemara makes a kal v'chaymer in Kiddushin. If mipnei lomdeha omdim, if you stand up and a Talmid Chacham comes in, mipaneha lo koshken, you certainly stand up and they carry a Sefer Torah. But that's only if the Sefer Torah is in the same Rishus where you are. Here the Sefer Torah is in a different Rishus, because the Aron Kodesh is 10 Tvachim tall, and it's Dalar Adalar Tvachim inside. Sometimes you have a teeny weeny Aron Kodesh, it doesn't even have Dalar Adalar Tvachim. Sometimes the Chevek Kadisha has such a tiny Sefer Torah, a tiny Aron Kodesh, it's not Cholik Rishus Bifnatz. But every normal Aron Kodesh has Dalar Adalar Tvachim inside, 10 Tvachim tall. So strictly speaking, it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is in a different room. It's in a different Rishus, so you don't have to stand up. Then furthermore, even if the Sefer Torah is in your rishus, but the Chazan is standing still with the Sefer Torah, you only have to stand when the Chazan is walking with the Sefer Torah. When the Chazan is standing still, the Sefer Torah is at rest, so you don't have to stand. So strictly speaking, when you open up the Yom Kodesh, you don't have to stand up. So why is the minig that we always stand? So it's a minig, where machma, we always stand. Rav Soloveitchik used to suggest, maybe we're not really standing for the Sefer Torah, because the Yom Kodesh is open, we're standing for the piyut. Maybe the piyutim that we say, what are the piyutim? All the piyutim are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe they have the status of a Dovish HaBikdusha. Chom Aminim and all the others. Maybe we treat them like a Dovish HaBikdusha. Dovish HaBikdusha, you need a minyan asor, and you need amida, and you need atifa. You're supposed to put the talus over your head. So he said, maybe that's what the minyan is. But Mikra Din says, Mikra Din, you don't have to stand. When they open the Arkosh, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, if you have an older person and his difficulty is not up to, he can't stand the whole time, he should sit during Chazaras HaShatz, he should sit during when they open up the Arkosh. The only time he has to stay, Medina de Gemara. If he's not up to, he's not up to it. When you say Shemoneh Esrei yourself, you have to stand if you're strong enough to. And on Yom Kippur, when the Chazan says the Vidui in the Chazaras HaShatz, that's Medina de Gemara. Everybody has to stand. Zman HaGemara, the Tzibur didn't stay the Vidui along with the Chazan. Only the Chazan said the Vidui. But the Gemara says they all have to stand when the Chazan gets up to the Vidui. Because the Vidui is being recited on behalf of all the people in the Kohol, and you're supposed to stand when you have the Vidui.
It's only about
Hashamnu,
no?
Then the Falteit. Falteit is also a Vidui. It's a long, if a person is exhausted, okay. He has no go, so let him stand at least for Hashamnu. Okay. But once the Goyim, the first day, meaning used to be the only said Shamnu Bagadna, there was no period at all. And then the later Goyim added on a long list from Aleph, we sinned from A to Z. We sinned with a period of every imaginable Avera, yeah. Kol Nidre on Leil Erev Yom Kippur, Leil Yom Kippur, there used to be two minhagim, whether Kol Nidre, the old Nusach used to be Kol Nidre, was a Hataras Nedarim, for all the Nedarim that we took during the course of the past time, Yom Kippurim Sha'avar, Yom Kippurim Hazeh. Then the Rabbi Natam came along and he said, that's not correct. You see in the Gemara Nedarim, that in the beginning of the year, he said, beginning of the year doesn't mean necessarily Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is also beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, you should make a declaration that any Nedarim that you'll take in the course of the upcoming year should be null and void. Like you have Moisa Maido in advance, you don't want the Nedarim that you're going to take to be binding. So there the Nusach should be Yom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba Aleinu L'Toiva, this Ibrayot till next year. So the Chayyadim says that more correct is that you should say both Nuschos. So that's what they say in Yeshiva. The Baal Tefillah says, he doesn't say the whole, the Chayyadim has the whole Nusach, that you say everything in past tense, then you say everything in the future tense. In Yeshiva, the Baal Tefillah, the Yeshiva Bachim don't know grammar so well. So they don't say the past tense with the present, with the future tense. They just say that twice. Yom Kippurim Shavah and Yom Kippurim Hazeh. Yom Kippurim Hazeh. Yom Kippurim Hazeh. Yom Kippurim Hazeh. So it's both a Hataras and Dorim on the Nedarim L'Sha'avar, as well as a Mesiris Maidor for the Nedarim in the future. Chayyadim also has another point. He says that as we have printed in the Machzor, the Seder HaAvodah that we say in Nusa, the Nusach in Musaf, Bizman HaGemara, the Tzibur didn't say the Seder HaAvodah. The Chazan is supposed to say the Seder HaAvodah in Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf. And he's supposed to say it out loud enough that the Tzibur hears. And now the meaning is everybody says along, but you shouldn't ruin the Ikar Adin. It's like when you bench mezumin. So Medina the Gemara, the mezamin says the whole Bech Samozin out loud. Everybody has to pay attention and answer Amen. So the Bechaber and Shulchan Aruch recommends that everybody should bench along because we don't always pay attention to someone else. So we may not pay attention, our mind will wander and we won't be able to say benching. So the common practice is you bench mezumin, everybody benches it on their own, and the mezamin doesn't say anything out loud. He just says the last line, Baruch Atah Hashem Azana Sakol. That's all he says. So the Mishnah Brewer writes, and Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole drasha about that, a whole Yotzai drasha once, that we should follow the Iker Din HaGemara, that Mizamin should say the whole bench out loud until the Yolam Ali Chasvein should say everything out loud.
Why don't they do it?
They do. The people who know do. They say until the Yolam Ali Chasvein. Yeah, they do. I remember I was once benching Mizumin by a Sheva Brachas by one of Rabbi Breuer's grandchildren. So I said, the bench had gone out, out loud till the Olamai Chasveinu. He started banging on the table. He wanted me to say everything out loud. Till I said, Shalom Erev. Everything. Not just till the Olamai Chasveinu. All the Harachmans and every, all the Psukim at the end. Got to say everything out loud. Rabbi Soloveitchik wasn't makpid about that. But just till the Olamai Chasveinu. That's the Mishnah Berurah says like that. Say everything out loud. So really more correct is that the Chasam, when he says the Chazoras HaShatz of Musaf, he has to say the Seder HaVoyta out loud. He doesn't have to say from the very beginning, we say the Baruch Hashem created the world and he gave the Torah HaSinah and then he gave us the mitzvahs of Karbonis. That's not the Seder HaVoyta. But when he gets to the Seder HaVoyta, that Shivas Yami before Yom Kippur, the Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, the Lishkas Pahedrin, that's the Seder HaVoyta. So that he should really say out loud. So even if the Tzibah wants to say along with him, but the Chazan is supposed to say it out loud. So in the Seder HaVoyta, years ago, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Nusach Sfard had more mistakes than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So there's a long, long Beis Yosef, and that's Simon in Hilchas Yom Kippur, where he makes Hagbaz. There's no tour on that page. There's no Bach. There's only Beis Yosef, a whole page. He took over the whole page. So he gives it all the Hagbaz. He corrected the Nusach Sfard of the Seder HaVoyta. So the printers were kind enough when they printed Nusach Sfard, they put all the corrections of the Beis Yosef. So once the Beis Yosef was printed, so the Nusach Sfard is more accurate than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Chayyadim corrected the Nusach Ashkenaz, but the printers were not kind enough to put all the corrections of the Chayyadim into the Machzor. So the Machzor is still Fagreist, it still has all the mistakes. So I think in the new art scroll, they probably have on the bottom of the page, they may have the Nusach of the Chayyadim. So in the Yeshiva, that's what they have. On Yom Kippur, they distribute the sheets, and it has the whole Nusach of the Seder HaVoyta.
I think it's correct.
Right. So, yeah, that's how it begins. But then there are mistakes, and he said, you brought this carbon, that carbon is brought later, the other one was brought before, and the whole Seder is out of order. So, it would be kedai that the shul should print a copy of the correct text of the Seder HaVoyta. One of the things that the Baal HaTanya corrected was that we have in the Seder HaVoyta, you only have three times HaKanabam, Ha'om, the Manzar, HaKori, Meshtach, HaMemodim, and Lafam, HaPneim, Yomim, Rosh Enkva, Mechusa, Liyom, Voit. So in the standard Nusach of the Seder HaVoyta, you only say it three times. Why three times? Because you said Vidui three times. The first time, Chipa Bado, Bad Besa, Besa Zewishtoi, Aniu Besi, the second time, Aniu Besi, Bnei Aaron, Amkar Shecho, for the Shevet Kuhuna. And the third time he says, Vidui, for all of Klal Yisrael. So each time he says, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, he says, Lefnei Hashem, Akadam Amhon, Vazara, Kayim Mishtach Mamodim. So that's printed three times by the three Viduim. But the Mishnah says, Beferish, there was a fourth time when he said, Lashem Chatos. He also pronounced the Shem Hashem Kichzovoi by Hashem Chatos. And then it says also Karnabam Ha'om the Manzara. So that's missing. So that the Baal HaTanya introduced that you should say Karnabam there. So the Baal HaTanya introduced it, but he said, he gives some reason, Alpi Kabbalah, I think, Alpi Nistar, why the Tzibu should not kneel on the floor. You should only kneel the three times to make a Zechel HaMikdash. You shouldn't kneel the fourth time when you say Karnabam by Lashem Chatos. Rav Soloveitchik didn't follow the Tam Alpi Nistar. So he introduced in his minyan that everybody kneels on the floor all four times. Whenever he said Karnavam, they would kneel on the floor.
Rebbe, going back, I told you that the Eidim came late. That's why they made the Yom Kippur. So I thought they always put that right away. You said that they first established it later on the roof.
Bizman Shekitshal Biharia. If the Eidim would come in Amincha Lamaila, they already brought the Tamashal Bein Abayim, they already said the Shira, so then Bizman Abayim made a takana that you're not Mekabali Eidim. So do you tell the people you can do Melacha now? It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Tell the people, no, we're going to tell them they're allowed to do Melacha, so next year they're not going to listen to us not to do Melacha, because they say, last year you wasted a whole day, and we found out at 5 o'clock that it was only Erev Rosh Hashanah. So they made a takana. No, the Masi Yom Kodesh and Mocha Kodesh. The first day is Rosh Hashanah the Rabban, and the second day is going to be Rosh Hashanah the Raisa, and you bring the Masafim on the second day. So if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, one after the other, that's called Kedusha Achas. If you have a Safik, is it today or tomorrow? That's a Sveka Diyoma. So it's not Kedusha Achas. It's either one or the other. But here, it's both days are Rosh Hashanah. The first day is Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbanan. Second day is Rosh Hashanah, the Reis. So we today, so that was in Eretz Yisrael, that was all over the world, yeah. Right. So we today have a Luach Kavua, so we know 100 years in advance when Rosh Hashanah is going to be on any given year, but so no one should have to observe any Sveika D'Yayma. There is no Sveika D'Yayma. But that's what the Gemara says in the beginning of Beit, so Shalcha Mitam, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael when they made the Takonis HaLuach, that the people should still, the Chutzlo should still observe the Yantav Shenim Shal Goli. So that's a Shaila. In Eretz Yisrael, they always used to have Yantav Shenim Shal Rosh Hashanah, because they didn't know, those who lived Chutz L'Tchom didn't know whether the first day is going to turn out to be Rosh Hashanah, the second day is going to be, or both days are going to be. So they didn't know. So the most of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, who were Chutz L'Tchom from the Beis Havad, where the Bezdin was Kavua, they didn't know, so they used to observe 2 days Yantav. But the Beis Havad floated around. Originally, the Bez Nagadol always was in Yerushalayim. And then, because of the gzeiros that the government made, so they were in Shvarim, Menusha, and Tzipori, and Tveria, they kept on floating from place to place. And then the later years, years later, they kept on moving around. So that's a shot that they treat all of Eretz Yisrael like the Mokam Beis Havad. The Beis Havad, they only kept one day Yontif. They knew when Bez made Rosh Hashanah. But because every city in Eretz Yisrael, at some time or another, housed the Bezdin that made Kiddush HaChodesh. Every city was either where the Bezdin was or Toch HaTchumah where the Bezdin was. So do you treat every city in Eretz Yisrael like the Mokam Avad, that they only have to have one day Yontav? But they know you treat every city as Shar Eretz Yisrael, because every single city in Eretz Yisrael at some time or another was not where the Beis Avad was. It was Chutz L'Tchum. So that's the machlekes between the Rif and the others, the Rif and the Gaonim. Right. In the Beis Avad, the Mokam Avad, they only kept one day Yontav. But the Mokam Avad kept on floating for years, kept on floating different locations. So the Balamor, Rabbi Nizrach Alevi, thinks he should treat all of Eretz Yisrael like the Mokam Avad. Because at some time or another in history, the Bez Nagadol was here. And they only held one day Yontav. They knew when Yontav was. And the Rif holds now that since every single city in Eretz Yisrael, sometime or another, was Chutz L'Tchum of the Mokam Avad, so Bizman Hazeh, you should treat every place in Eretz Yisrael like Shalom B'Beisah, Shalom B'Mokam Avad. So that's the Machlekes, where in Eretz Yisrael you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, one day Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
There's a movement in Eretz Yisrael now that one day Yom Tov
. Okay. We'll have to see what the consensus of opinion will be by the Rabban. Yeah. On Yom Kippur, we know that there are Chamisha Inuim, not only Achilas Shtiyah, that's one, Sicha Chitzan, Yerushasam, Tashma Shamita, that's a big machlekes, whether the other Inuim are the Reis or the Rabbana. The Gemara says there's only chorus if you do Melacha or if you do Achilas Shtiyah. But on the other Inuim, there's no chorus. So this leads the Rabban and Tam to believe that the whole idea of the added Chamish Inuim, the added four, is only with the Rabbanan. If they're all men at Torah, why should we distinguish? Why should he say it's only chorus on Achilas Shtiyah, there's no chorus on the others? And from the Rambam, it would appear that all the Chamish Inuim are there, Isa. How can it be that you split? Only on Achilas Shtiyah there's chorus, and on the others there's no chorus. So apparently he thinks that it's not such a murderous kasha. You have a pasuk in Chumash, you're not allowed to eat dam. So all dam is an Issa Deraisa to eat dam. But on some dam there's curse, and other dam there's no curse. On dam, Shanashama Yotzebo, when you shech the animal and the blood gushes out, and the animal loses its life because of it doesn't have enough blood to circulate to keep it alive. So that dam, the Gemara says, you can tell when the color changes, the color of the dam changes. So the dam that caused the animal to die, or the dam that you find in the heart, dam shebekove, dam shebelev, so that dam has an Issa Koris. If you buy a piece of flesh from the butcher and you don't salt it, the butcher salted it then. Okay. But when my mother used to buy flesh and she wouldn't salt it, you just squeeze out the blood. Once you cook it, so we pass and dam shabishla is only the rabbah. But if you take a piece of raw flesh and you squeeze out the blood, that's an Issa deraisa to eat that blood, but there's no Koris on that. And it's often the same pasuk called dam lo sachelu. Sometimes it has Koris, sometimes it doesn't have Koris. It's not such a murderous kasha. What the Rabbi Natan was bothered with, the hechrech that he had to prove that the Shari Inuyim is only the Rabban. So the Achrayim all say that from the Rabban would appear the Chamish Inuyim are the Reis. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik used to encourage Maybe you should really be a little more careful on that. Vos says a little more careful. So the Gemara has a machlokes. When you do chalitza, you have to do v'cholza nalo mi'al ragla. You have to take off his shoe. Vos says that shoe, a shoe is only a leather shoe. What if he wears sneakers? It protects the foot, but it's not made from leather. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel that the Navi is describing that the Ribbono Shel Olam took care of the Jewish people like he took us out of Mitzrayim and he took care of us, the Arba'im Shana Bamidbar, like he delivered a baby, and after he delivered the baby, you wash the baby off and you smear the baby with oil, then you put on a diaper and then you straighten out the legs, and then you buy shichalach for the little baby, you buy clothing, shoes. So the pasuk says, "Ve'enolech tochash." I put on nalayim, I put on shoes made from leather, from tachash. So the Gemara says, "Oh, is arayif in the pasuk that nal has to be from leather." So the chalitza nal and nal ragla for chalitza purposes, it has to be leather. If it's not leather, it's not called a nal. You can't do chalitza with a sneaker. So we're machmer like that. You can't do chalitza with sneakers. But the shayla is on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av in Shiva. One is not allowed to wear nila sasana. You're not allowed to wear a nal. There you make all. You say anything that's not made by chalitza, you're machmer. So you can only do chalitza with a leather shoe. The Gemara says it's a machlokes satanaim. Maybe you can't do chalitza with sneakers because they do. They're megan, it protects the foot. So we're machmer, you cannot. The shad is we're machmer there. Maybe we should be machmer on Yom Kippur, that you shouldn't be allowed to wear sneakers. So the generally accepted opinion is lahakel on Tisha B'Av and on Shiva and on Yom Kippur. So the Vilna Gaon, they quote, thought Tisha B'Av is the Rabbanan and Shiva is only the Rabbanan. But Yom Kippur, according to the Rambam, Yom Kippur, not only Achil Ashtiyah is an Issa Derais, the Chamisha Inuim are also Derais. That's what Rav Soloveitchik, every year he used to encourage not only the boys in Yeshiva, he used to encourage the Balabatim also that they should be machmer to wear sneakers that don't have arches. Because the Loshon HaRamam is you have to be margish koshi ha'aretz. So if you wear sneakers with arches, so it's very comfortable and it's megan, so that should be considered, according to some opinions in Rishonim, that would be considered a now that would be a violation of the Din D'Oraisa of Nila Sasan. So he used to recommend you should try to wear sneakers that don't have any arches in it. Or slippers, yeah. People make a mistake, they think that if you chotzi shiur, if you eat shiurim on Yom Kippur, there's no isa deraisa. That's not true. The Gemara has a machlokes in the very beginning of the last perek in Yom. We pass on like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, chotzi shiur asa min haTorah. So if you eat a little bit and you wait 10 minutes, you eat a little bit, you wait 10 minutes, that's an Issa Daraisa. You're not allowed to eat Chatzishir. Chatzishir is only muta for a person who's a chayla mesukan, or may develop a sakana. So let him eat normally. Why does he have to eat? Pachas, mekashir. So the answer is, the Gemara says there, in the end of the last parak in Yuma, when a person, let's say a person, Rahman is in a concentration camp, or he's in a prison, and they don't give him any kosher food. He's not going to eat the treif food, he may die. So he has to eat something treif. So what if he has an option? He can either eat pork, or he can eat tevel. So the Gemara says, tevel is nisi b'dei shemayim, and pork is only alav. So machila mosa hakalak al tchila. In order to save his life, he has to violate an aver. He has to violate some aver or another to let him violate the lesser of the two evils. Machila mosa hakalak al tchila. So that's what this din is based on. If you eat the chatzi shir, that's an isa deraisa, but there's no koris. If you eat a shir shalom, then there is koris. So if a person can save his life by eating pachas, mikir shir, having less than a shir, waiting a few minutes, then less than a shir, wait another few minutes, so that's less of an avera. It's also an avera deraisa, but if it's less an avera than eating the full shir shalom. So that's what in Shulchan Aruch they recommend. One should eat pachas, mikir shir. Rav Soloveitchik would always tell over, and he printed this, and the essay that he published after his father passed away. So he published the essay Isha Halacha. His father was an Isha Halacha. So he gives the whole description. He gives a description of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So part of the description of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik he writes is that Rav Chaim used to paskin that on Yom Kippur, if you have a person who's mamish, achod l'sheyesh b'sakana, he can eat regular. You don't tell him to eat pachas mikashir. Pachas mikashir is only if the person is still healthy. You're afraid if he's going to fast, he may get sick. But if he already is sick now, he is now, then you don't have to eat pachas mikashir. So that's your doer, that this is Rab Chaim Soloveitchik's psak. Velva the Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Chaim, quotes this in his Sefer on the Rambam, and he explains very beautifully what it's all about. So the truth of the matter is, Rav Soloveitchik obviously attributed this psak to Rav Chaim. Truth of the matter, it's not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Valozhina, who founded Valozhina Yeshiva. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was there the last couple of years. He learned in Valozhina. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhina the last few years, and he with the Nitziv were the ones who closed Valozhina at the end. But this was a Psak HaMekubal in Valozhina from the days of Rav Chaim Valozhina. The Nitziv joined the Yeshiva in Valozhina, I think, before his Bar Mitzvah. Then when he became Bar Mitzvah, he married the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter. He married the daughter of Rabitzel of Valozhina, who was the son of Rav Chaim Valozhina. So he writes, this was the Psak HaMekubal when he came as a Bar Mitzvah Bacher. This was a Psak HaMekubal in the Yeshiva from the days of Rav Chaim Valozhina. It's not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And believe it or not, the Mishnah Berurah says that. People usually skim over that Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah makes this distinction. Rav Soloveitchik makes such a big fuss about it as if it's only Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The whole thing stayed mefurish in the Mishnah Berurah, but people don't read that Mishnah Berurah. That there's a difference between one who already is a chayla misukan as opposed to one who is healthy, but if you've got a fast, we're afraid. Even if it's only a fafetch chashash, a svek svek sveke, the din says that you have to eat on Yom Kippur. There's a Sefer Issa V'Heter, Issa V'Heter Ha'oruch, that's written by Rabbeinu Yoina, not the Rabbeinu Yoina HaSfardi, Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. He never quotes any Sfardim, he always quotes just Rashi and Tosfos. So those who learn Yerideya, they quote the Issa V'Heter Ha'oruch, Halavav Hei, Issa V'Heter Ha'oruch, quote them every page in Yerideya, in Basa B'Cholam, in Tarubis, in Malicha, in Shechita, everything goes with the Issa V'Heter. So he has one chapter at the end of the Sefer, Dinei Chayla. How do you deal with the Chayla? So he quotes that there was one Bala Taisus. He gives you the name. It's not, the name doesn't ring a bell by any of us. But this name of the Bala Taisus, he was deathly sick before Yom Kippur. And the doctor said, if he eats, if he doesn't eat, for sure he's going to die. If he eats, there's a slim chance that he may survive. Or to get past in Tabzich, that ain't Sofik Baitzim Devadai. There's a Vaday Chiv to fast on Yom Kippur, and it's a Svek Svek, and maybe if he'll eat, maybe he'll be able to survive. So he decided, ain't something much about it. And lo and behold, he fasted on Yom Kippur, and believe it or not, he dropped dead. So they were all angry. They said, you committed suicide. Dom Chaber Hashecha, that all the Balei Tos were screaming at him. You're not allowed to be Machmer. It's not, if a Nochri holds a gun to my head and wants me to violate an Aveira, and the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicha. So there, the Tosfos says sometimes it's optional. Is that sometimes it'll constitute a midas chasidus to be moisa nefesh, even if the halacha doesn't. That's because someone's holding a gun. So that's kiddush Hashem. But to die from a sickness, die from a weakness, because he's not eating on Yom Kippur, what's the kiddush Hashem? That's ridiculous. So they all said that that's kineged adin. One, if a person has a svek sveka that maybe has to eat. He has to eat on Yom Kippur. I live in Washington Heights, as they say, the Rabbi Breuer and Aseres Yemei Tshuva used to go visit the Cholim who had to stay home. House call. He used to, wouldn't call them on the telephone. He'd go visit them. And he was already in his, deep in his 80s. He would go visit them. And he would tell them, just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to fast, so it's a mitzvah that you have to eat on Yom Kippur. If a person has a svek sveka, that he may affect his health. So he's mechuyev to eat on Yom Kippur, no two ways about it. I want to say a few words about Sukkot. The Nitziv has a famous chiddush in his commentary on the Shiltas that the mitzvah boyos bebishluchai even applies to the construction of the Sukkot, not only to bedikas chometz, which is an actual mitzvah, not only to putting up the mezuzah, you should put up the mezuzah yourself, even asiyas ha-sukkah is only a hechsher mitzvah, that's not the mitzvah. He gives a whole explanation why he, if a person is up to it. If a person is afraid, he'll get a heart attack, so you don't. But if a person is healthy and he has the time, really it should be mitzvah boyos mebishluchai, at least to do part of the mitzvah. That's the Maharaj HaZeruah says. When you say mitzvah boyos mebishluchai, that's a person has an apartment, has 10 rooms. So mitzvah boyos mebishluchai does mean he has to be boyos chametz in all the 10 rooms. Boyos chametz in one room, and he has the children be boyos chametz in their own rooms, it has someone else doing the other one, that's also even kind mitzvah bo yos mishluch, if you do part of the mitzvah. So here also, hamodas haschach is really the mitzvah, so at least you should put up some of the schach in person. You shouldn't just rely on someone else. A lot of times you look at sukkahs and they're simply not kosher. The people don't know. There's a Mishnah that says, let's say you have a sukkah so big and the walls are all around, but you only have 5 people who are going to eat in the sukkah. So what do you need tzchach all over the place? You're just going to put tzchach in the middle. Tzchach in the middle, teiknish. The Mishnah says the tzchach has to be within 3 tochim to the tfanis. It has to be lovut to the tfanis. If it's not lovut to the tfanis, teiknish. It's not going to be kosher. That sometimes you have the tfanis that don't reach down to the ground. So the Mishnah is, there's a machlokes hatanoin. And the Gemara says clearly, we paskan halach lamaisa that a mechitza tuluya, if it's suspended, it doesn't reach within 3 tfachim to the ground. If it's between 3 tfachim, I say lovut, so it's considered as if the mechitza does go to the ground. But if it's higher than 3 tfachim above the ground, since a machlokes we paskan, that's not good. That's called mechitza tuluya. It's neither good in Shabbos to create the Rishus HaYochid, nor is it good in Sukkah to be considered a kosher Sukkah. Then there's a din if you have a kosher sukkah, but you have trees with branches that are above the sukkah. So the different opinions in Tosfos, the psak that's accepted in Shulchan Aruch is that all of the schach that's directly below the branches on the tree are not kosher for schach, because one of the conditions of schach has to be gedula karka, has to be tolush, has to be detached, and has to be dov sheni mekabel tuma. So the branches on the tree are still mechuba lekarka, so it's no good. And then once we were in Eretz Yisrael for sukkahs, and we were staying at the apartment of a relative of ours, gave us permission to use his sukkah. So we had a problem. Where are we going to put the sukkah? There were trees all over the backyard. So we called him up. He lives in Canada. He gave us permission to cut down the bare minimum. We shouldn't cut down his trees a little bit. So there was a sign in the makola that if you need help cutting down branches from the trees, call this number. So my wife called the number. So an Arab comes and he starts cutting down the trees. Then he was going to be Gilly Rosh, then he puts his sleeve on top of his head. So Baruch Atah Hashem Lekenu Malach Ha'olam. So my wife asks, what is that all around? He says, Asiti Mitzvah. He knows that the Jews say a bracha whenever they do mitzvah. He didn't know he's supposed to fear rice. He said, he did a mitzvah. He made the sukkah kosher. He said, oh, I know. I cut off the branches for Rabbi Yashiv. He was telling us, he cuts off for all the chashiv people, he knows what you have to cut off. We're machma, even if it's very high, we're machma that the schach kosher that's directly below the branch, even though there's absolutely no shade at all from the branches. Yeah. But if it's directly above, then you have a problem. So a lot of times.
Sometimes you can't tell. If it's very, very high, the tree. Your branches all the way.
You can't tell whether it's directly above or not. You have to figure out. You have to use an instrument to figure out whether it's directly above. Yeah. So sometimes you have a big sukkah, and then you have branches on top of this part of the sukkah. So I'll sit in the rest of the sukkah. So the rest of the sukkah is good if there are 3 dfanas over here. What if you only have 3 dfanas? 1, 2, 3. There is no wall on the other side. It's open on the fourth side. So, and you have branches over here. So does this wall over here, does this count as a doifim for the sukkah or not? So Gemara says it depends how far in the branches go. The schach that's directly below the branches is considered pasul. It's no good. So if the branches go into the sukkah dalet amos or more, if it goes less than dalet amos, if the branches are on top of the schach less than dalaramas above this wall, so then I say doifen akum, I consider as if the wall goes up and the wall leans over. So the pasul of schach is considered a hemshech of the wall, and the kosher of schach is touching the doifen. Even though it's 3.5 amas away from the doifen, I consider as if doifen akum, as if the doifen goes like this and bends over. But if the pasul of schach, if the branches are above the kosher schach for 4 amas or more into the sukkah, then you can no longer say daifen akuma. So this whole daifen is discounted. So then you don't have a hechsher sukkah, you only have a daifen there and a daifen here. You have to have shtaim kilchosim shlishis afilu tefach. You have to have 2 at a right angle to each other. And then the third one, you can be mekel shlishis afilu tefach. The meaning is that we're not mekel shlishis afilu tefach, because the Gemara has chumris, you got to touch up that shlishis afilu, you have to have a tzuras al pesach, so we're not mekel on that. You have to have at least 3 defanas that should be kosher defanas. There is a din of chobot rami. The Mishnah has, the Gemara has in Sukkah. Let's say the schach part of schach is up and down. So if everything is lovut to everything else, and lovut is lovut, so it's all It's all, let's say you have a mat, use a mat for schach, and it's one hemshech of a mat goes up and down. So that's not a problem. What if you have different things holding up schach and it's on different layers? Let's say this is the sukkah. So the schach over here is on a lower level. Then the schach over here on a higher level, and it's not lower to each other. There's a gap of more than three trochen in between the upper level of the layer of schach and the lower layer of schach. So Gemara says that if the upper layer of schach has a minimum of tefach al tefach to it, so then I say chavad drami, I consider it as if it's all on the same level and it's acceptable.
Gurachis,
yeah, but gurachis is by mechitza. Here it's not here. Here it's a tikra. Here it's a tikra. So on a tikra, you say chavad drami. It's a din by tumas meis also. Let's say you have. I remember there was a hospital in Cedar Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles had this problem. Kohanim weren't allowed to enter the hospital around. Why? Because the morgue. The morgue was in the basement, and when you take the mason out from the morgue, every single mace would go under a gog, and the gog went around the whole, the roof of the hospital, protruded a tefach all the way around all the four sides. I think it's a whole city block, the Cedar Sinai Hospital there, whole city block, and the roof protruded, and because of the way the morgue was constructed, there was a simple solution. So finally, the chaplain used that solution to avoid the tumas meis, but until they avoided it, so there was tumas meis all over the place. Not only tumas meis, you couldn't enter the hospital at all. You couldn't even park your car in the parking lot because the parking lot had a roof on top of it, and the roof on the hospital protruded like this. They were nowhere near each other. One roof was over here, one roof was over here, but they were directly under each other. And the upper roof had more than a tefach al tefach, had many tefachim over there. So that's a din of chavad drami. You consider it as if it's one big hemshech, both by the sukkah to be makshah the schach and by the tumas meis to consider it one big oval. So this din of chavad drami, al pi pashtus, is only a din if you have a tikra over here and a tikra over here, and they're not lovered to each other, but the tikra on top has more than a tefach al tefach, so that, and they're right next to each other, one below the other, a little bit below. So then you say chavad drami, consider as if one long hemshech. So that's only by midvar ma'amurim if you have a tikra. The shad is, what if you have a doifen akuma? What if you have a wall that goes like this, and then it leans in? It leans in 3.5 amas. So the part that leans in 3.5 amas, that's not midin tikra, that's midin doifen. That's called doifen akuma. So the pashtus is that there is no din of chavad drami on a doifen akuma. So I remember when I visited Eretz Yisrael, we were there a couple of times for sukkah. So there's one hotel, that's the way the sukkah is constructed. The sukkah doesn't seem to be kosher. Sukkah al-pipash doesn't. I remember many rabbanim came to visit in this hotel. So I said, why don't you tell this balabas that he should sit there? The hotel has 10 different sukkahs. So the balabas wanted to sit dafka in the fanciest sukkah. The fanciest sukkah wasn't kosher. So I said, tell the balabas that it's not a kosher sukkah. I don't know, they were afraid to tell him, because he gave money to all of their institutions. So they didn't want to give many musa. They were sitting in a posala sukkah. You got to make sure the sukkah looks normal. If there's anything fluky, you got to ask a shayla. It's not so posher. Not all the sukkahs in the world are kosher. Yeah. What time is it? Okay, want to wish everybody a good Gebesh, Aksiva, Achsim, Atoiva. Lon Olachal Yisrael. Oh, man. Good job. Good job.